Texas.
Well, last Saturday at Gulfstream Park, the Grade 3 $100,000 Fort Lauderdale Stakes was won by Silver Medallion, a four-year-old colt from the first crop by Badge of Silver. Bibber Bird and C. Jones sold as a yearling for $150,000. Silver Medallion has won stakes at 2, 3, and 4 for earnings of over $426,000. He has won four stakes, including graded stakes at Gulfstream, Calder, and Golden Gate. And he went into the Fort Lauderdale off a victory in the Grade 3 Tropical Park Handicap. Silver Medallion has also sired King Kanji, winner of the Grade 3 Tropical Park Derby, and placed in four other stakes, including the Grade 1 Bluegrass and the Grade 3 Saranac. Fly Alexis Fly, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner in South America. Doug's Buddy, winner of three stakes in Canada as a two-year-old last year. And Hollywood Park stakes winner Sparkling Style. Two others have placed in stakes. Silver Leo in the $149,000 display stakes at Woodbine, and El Romano at Calder. All that in his first two crops. Badge of Silver have won four graded stakes, placed in four others, three grade one, for earnings of over $1 million. He stands for $6,000 live full with breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones' Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and here we are in the Clocker Stand. Got a full house this morning at the Clocker Stand. And Dr. Doug Byer just walked in with Michael Blowen. Tom Dixon is here, and Tom is... I think he's retired now, but for a long time he was an insurance adjuster with, what company were you with?
It was Dixon Adjusters Incorporated.
Dixon Adjusters, and he officiated at the settlements of some of the, golly gee whiz, all-time great horses that passed away, such as, let's say Aladar to start it off, and you go down the list and you see names like Mr. Prospector and Seattle Slough and so forth. And Doc Bennett, Tom's been at it for a long time. And in cahoots with you, Doug?
Oftentimes. I remember a trip we took to California together to see Capote.
Capote?
Yeah. He had colitis. He had bad diarrhea, but he got over it. And but I'll never forget, they pulled up the rental car, and it was a...
convertible.
A white convertible with red seats. And Tom said,
"That sounds Hollywood to me."
That's what I kept telling Tom. He said, "No, I can't be going. I can't go in a car like that over to the racetrack." So we had to get a sedan. we had a great visit.
Well, Tom, maybe you could have picked up a couple of blondes or something out there.
Well, if I remember right, coming back to the airport, we got lost on the interstate, zigged when I sort of jagged, and we ended up in Chinatown. I don't know if Doug remembers that or not, but I like to never got back on the main highway. But I kind of liked that convertible.
Did you?
Yeah. Now he admits it.
Now, after all these years. Well, that's fun. I'm glad you brought him in this morning.
Oh, there are a lot of stories I can remember. Tom and I looked at a number of problem cases, and most of them turned out all right. You know, I can remember that yearling colt at Spendthrift that had neurological.
Now, who was at Spendthrift at that time? Is that when Mr. Combs was there?
This was way back. Yeah. John Williams was there.
Oh, John.
And they had a neurological case that they said was a wobbler and needed to go out to Washington State University. Barry Grant was still there.
Tom Riddle was a resident there.
Right, yep. Yeah. And we were, and Don Witherspoon.
Right.
And so anyway, I looked at this yearling and I snuck over to Tom and I said, "I don't think he's a wobbler. I think he's got EPM or something different." And then, of course, people didn't know what EPM was then. Anyway, I believe they paid off on him, and he went out there and they said he wasn't a wobbler. And I think Washington State University stood him at stud, ran him a little bit. And
Who stood him at stud?
The university.
Oh.
Because the insurance company.
What, go to Davidson out there? What company?
I don't know. Tom, do you remember that case?
No, I don't remember that case.
Well, the reason I remember it so much is that I slinked over to you, and I said, I don't think he's a wobbler. And he said, well, it doesn't make much difference because, you know, they're probably going to wind up getting a claim on him. And then the insurance agent who sold insurance at the farm came over to me, and he said, I want you to put on your report that this horse is eligible for euthanasia, because I didn't want to agree. And so I went back over to Tom. I said, he wants me to put on there that this horse eligible for euthanasia. And Tom just said, you know how many dollars this guy gets as an agent for that farm? He's going to want to have everything go in his direction. He's the agent, and Tom's the adjuster. And so I learned real quickly that there are two different cats there.
Yeah, absolutely. And at that time, if you remember, Doug, they had about 40-plus stallions at Spendthrift.
Right.
Tom, can you get a little closer to that mic?
Sure, from Nashua on down.
Well, we had Raise a Native that we had to work on that had a cancer.
You want to hold it? You would like to hold a mic?
No, that's close enough.
Is that okay, Rusty? Is it coming across okay? Okay.
Yeah.
You got to get a little bit closer.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember Majestic Prince, I think, stood out there, if you remember.
He died of a ruptured aorta.
Yeah, but before that, he had a bad eye. Mm-hmm. And I remember on an Easter morning, some big expert veterinarians came in from the East and did surgery on his eye on an Easter morning. I never will forget that one.
Yeah. Who was the surgeon, do you remember?
He was from back east carrying a briefcase, so he was an expert. I don't know. that's all I remember. I suspect Dr. Paul Thorpe was probably in on it. This is when Haggard was still on Newtown Pike.
Yeah, over there where the... the band company is over there now.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, okay.
Ursel, you and Tom would have a connection because I mentioned Man of War and stuff like that. And so Tom said, well, he rode his bicycle to Man of War's
funeral.
Yeah.
I was there, too.
Well, I had to check. It was 1947.
November.
I was 16 years old, November. It was at Big Deals in the paper, and I remember riding my bicycle out there. And found a picture of Man of War buried full in the casket. Mm-hmm. It was a piano box, if I remember right, they buried him in.
No, they had it. It was a special-made casket.
Was it?
Remember, the inside of it was all lined with,
beautiful.
With the colors.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, black and silver, black and yellow colors of Riddle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was a big deal.
It was a big crowd there.
Yeah.
And Dr. McGee was there. We were talking about Dr. McGee just a second ago. That was the first guy you took a ride with.
Well, I told you, when I was 16, in study hall, I read Blood Horse. And that's probably why I didn't make the greatest grades in the world. But I loved horses even then. And you remember a jockey many years ago named Ovi Scurlock?
Oh, of course.
Ovi Scurlock had a brother named Henry. Mm-hmm. And Henry lived across the street from us, and I went to work with him one morning. He worked horses at the old Dixiana. And the farm manager out there took one look at me, and he said, well, little Tom, you'll never be a jockey. That was what I had in mind at the time. I weighed 98 pounds.
Now, what year was this?
47, 46.
Well, that farm manager was my daddy.
Is that right?
Right.
Well, he gave me the word. He said, your feet are too big.
Is that?
Yeah. So that destroyed that little image. I did go out there. But at the same time, on Saturdays, I would get the Yellow Pages out, look up a veterinarian, call him, and just ask him if I could ride with him. And the first one that I rode with was Dr. McGee. And our first stop was Calumet Farm. There was a mare out there that had retained her placenta. And Dr. McGee, I was the bucket carrier. I carried a bucket of hot water over for him. He put that long sleeve on his arm, Doug. He reached up in that mare and he pulled that placenta out. I thought he'd pulled her entire gut system out. Threw it on the ground, and I never will forget the bunch of chickens at Calumet Farm came out and started pecking corn out of that placenta. I will never, never forget it. But Dr. McGee was, I think, probably number one in Central Kentucky as far as veterinary practice is
concerned. Well, Dr. Haggard and Dr. Davidson were all there. Dr. Charlie Haggard, he did my dad's work.
Right. Great people.
Oh, they were wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were really wonderful people. Yeah. Where did you... You from Lexington?
I am born and raised. Not very many people can say that. Yes.
Well, when did you go to high school? Where'd you go?
Well, I call it the old Henry Clay. Henry Clay High School on East Main Street.
Oh, okay.
I went to UK for one semester. And I was a pre-pharmacy major. And I couldn't pass high school chemistry. I don't know how I thought I'd pass college chemistry. But this was right. This was in 1951, Korean War. And I was flunking school and working for my dad, worst boss I ever had in my life. And I joined the Navy and served 5 years in the Navy. Came back home. Biggest mistake I ever made in my life is I did not go back to school. I had the GI Bill. I wasn't married. I had no responsibilities. I just wanted to buy a lot of clothes, get a nice car, and have a good time. But I regret to this day that I didn't go back to school and get a college degree. I did pretty well, but basically because of old friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. I was in I went to Lafayette at that time.
We didn't talk about Lafayette. Our biggest rival, as you know, was Lafayette.
Oh, absolutely. Well, in fact, there were only two public high schools in town. We had Latin and U High.
Well, they had Bryan Station.
It was junior high.
We always called that the country high school.
No, it was junior high, because I went there at junior high.
Okay, all right.
It was...
I'll stand.
I went to Russell Cave and then had to go over there. I didn't get to Lafayette until my sophomore year, you know.
Okay.
After junior high. I got to take a break and we'll get right back to you.
All right, thank you.
I'm okay. Well, opening day at Gulfstream Park, the fifth season stakes, was won by Color Me Blue, the son of Flatter, bred by Charles Knuckles Jr. and Sons. Color Me Blue is the 20th stakes winner by Flatter, the sire of 2011... In 2011, of seven stakes winners and the earners of more than $5,360,000 to rank well up on the North American sire list. Four of his seven 2011 stakes winners won graded stakes, including Grade 1 stakes winner Flat Out, winner of the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. Two others, graded stakes winners Tar Heel Mom and Apart, placed in Grade 1 stakes. In fact, Flatter sired 15% stakes horses lifetime, with 20 to win a place in stakes last year. Color Me Blue is a typical Flatter. The fifth season stakes was his seventh win, and he's been on the board in 15 of his 17 starts. If you want a runner with class and durability, look to Flatter. Stands for $15,000, doing the full stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Flatter's by AP Indy, out of praise by Mr. Prospector. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Broken Vow was a sire of 23 stakes horses in 2011. That's routine for Broken Vow. Topping the list were Sassy Image, winner of both the Grade 1 Humana Distaff Stakes at Churchill Downs and the Grade 1 Princess Rooney Handicap in Florida, and one of four Grade 1 Stakes winners by Broken Vow. He was also the sire of 19 two-year-old winners, and six of them won a place in stakes. You get a lot of run for your money with Broken Vow. He stands for $25,000 live foal at Pin Oak Stud. Also at Pin Oak are the stallions Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. The first crop of Bob and John raced at two last year, and he already has 20 winners, including a stakes winner. A Grade 1 stakes winner of over $996,000, Bob and John's by seeking the goal out of the graded stakes winner minister's melody by deputy minister, and he stands for $7,500 live foal. Cowboy Cal, multiple graded stakes winner millionaires by champion sire Giants Causeway. His first foals are yearlings, also 7,500 live foal. Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic by Nijinsky II has signed 59 stakes winners and more than 100 stakes horses. He can black type your mare, and it stands for $10,000 live foal. Inquiries with Clifford Berry and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Talking to Tom Dixon, retired insurance adjuster, and boy, you've looked in on a lot of horses that were in trouble down through your life. Any of them stand out to you, Tom?
Well, of course, Aliadar was my 15 minutes of fame, and I'll never forget Secretariat. The last one on the list there, Hoist the Flag, that's going way back, but that was a big, big deal at the time. Let me look at that list. There's okay. A whole lot on there.
John Cougay said that Hoist the Flag was the best horse he ever got on.
Yeah,
I know. That's
of course, Nijinsky II was a big deal because he foundered really bad. Nureyev was another really big case. Triptych, I believe she was, had won Eclipse Award, broodmare at Claiborne. Producer, very well named, an excellent broodmare. I rode in the van with her and her foal from Ocala to the new Bolton Center in Pennsylvania. It was one of those eight-passenger so-called soft-ride vans. It wasn't very soft. But it's a long way from Ocala, Florida, up the East Coast to New Bolton Center.
Well, you next time ride in a Sally van.
Okay. It might have been a Sally van. I know I took my daughter's sleeping bag. I never did get to go to sleep, but I ruined the sleeping bag simply from the smells on the van. But she had a Seattle Slough foal by her side that had a bad leg.
Yeah.
And they were taking it up to New Bolton Center. We'll forget. I thought we would never stop, but I think they stopped at every truck stop on the East Coast going to New Bolton Center. let's see who else here.
Well, let me ask you.
Well, now I kind of stray from the subject, but Brigand Silk. Any quarter horse people out there will know Brigand Silk. At the time, he had colic, and we had to put him down at Ruidoso. And insured for $6 million, and at the time he was the highest insured quarter horse that we ever put down. He was in the futurity out at Ruidoso, and then Meadow Skipper, a standard bred, was another at the time we handled the insurance claim, was the highest insured standard bred Meadow Skipper. That name is very well known in the standard bred.
Okay.
So that's.
I can't remember. What was the final determination, the final settlement on Aliadar?
Total insurance was about $36.5 million. We represented $32 million. Mm-hmm. Calumet Farm and J.T. Lundy did not get 10 cents. A lot of that insurance was for people who had bought lifetime breeding rights and had seasons in the horse, and then the money that Calumet did have insured was the lien holder got all the money, the bank. They didn't get any of the money. It's a big settlement, but the farm didn't get any of it. They got it indirectly by paying off that much of the loan, but they owed so much money to the bank, it was a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what was the final determination? What did you write down? The cause of death?
Cause of death was an accident in the stall.
Okay.
Yeah. Take my word for it. There's a lot of rumor, gossip, innuendo flying around Central Kentucky because this all happened, I believe, during the November sales. And I'll always ask anybody that questions the way it happened, I ask them three questions. Were you there the night the horse injured himself? Were you there the morning they did the surgery? Were you there the morning they put the horse down? Now, if you can't say yes to all three of those questions, you don't really know what went on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there all three times, and I felt very, very comfortable authorizing euthanasia on behalf of Lloyd's, $32 million. And you have to keep in mind, all the controversy really didn't come up until about 1996, when the IRS got into Mr. Lundy's back pocket. And that kind of snowballed from there. But we're talking about a period of 6 years in between. the death of the horse and then all the controversy surrounding Mr. Lundy and Calumet Farm.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I'm glad that got over the air, you know, because I actually didn't know, you know.
Well, there are a lot of people that still to this day think the horse was killed for the insurance money.
Yeah, yeah.
The assistant U.S. attorney in Houston, Texas, thought it had been killed for the insurance money. But I feel very, very comfortable that it was an accident. We had three of the finest veterinarians in Central Kentucky there on site. Yeah. They all gave the same version. We all agreed that it was an accident in the stall. And I remember Senior Dr. Proctor told me one time, he said, a horse's worst enemy is a stall.
Yeah, okay. Well, very good. That's good. I like that.
I like that, too. That's what Dr. Byers says. Dr. Byers' rule of thumb is that for every day a horse spends in a stall is a day off his life expectancy.
Well, that's probably true. Tom, how did you get into this? How did you, you know, being an insurance
agent? The phone must have rung one day, and they asked him to do it.
No, it was fairly close to that. I was working at an insurance office at North Broadway and New Circle Road, where the all the travel trailers are now. If you know the corner.
North Broadway and New Circle.
Where all the mobile homes and all that sort of thing. And behind there is a building called the Temulac Building. Temulac, spelled backwards, is Calumet. And my boss was Warren Wright, Jr.
That's where he had his insurance business.
He sure did. And I work for Mr. Wright. And there were a lot of people in there that went on to do bigger and better things. Blair Scott, Bill Carl, Nina Hahn, Sylvester Kiger, Bill Kinslow, all these people worked in that office, as did I at one time. So I made a lot of good friends. Then I went to work at the insurance department in Frankfort. I worked down there 13 years. I was chief enforcement officer, big title, no money. One day I got the phone call, and these fellas that I had worked with at the old Wright Insurance Agency, there was an adjuster here in Lexington, but they felt like there was a need for another adjuster because this was 1979, business is really picking up.
Who was the other adjuster at that time?
Bob Wells.
Yes, sir.
And he was with Frank Aubrey.
Yeah, Aubrey, I knew Frank.
Aubrey and Wells.
Yeah.
And they asked me if I would open up a claims office. Well, at that time, I didn't know founder from flounder, if you get my drift. But I learned, I did learn some there at the agency. And I didn't know if I wanted to leave Frankfort or not. Like I said, it wasn't the greatest paying job in the world, but the benefits were great, and I loved the job. Mm-hmm. Had five children to support, and I thought, well, I don't know if I want to do this or not. Well, long story short, I opened my office in 1979 and then sold it to one of the associates in the office in 1996. So I put in 17 years in the claims office. And during that period, we handled about 15,000 claims. Now, these are not all mortality claims. A lot of times folks call the horses just colicky. We open a file, follow it along, and then we close the file. So we also dealt with exotic animals.
Such as?
Llamas, ostriches, elephants, alligators.
Alligator insurance. I never thought of that. I didn't know. I've talked to my wife about it.
Well, that alligator is another story. Pot-bellied pigs. And I was at Homestead, Florida 3 days after Hurricane Andrew. And until Katrina, Hurricane Andrew was the biggest hurricane to ever hit the East Coast.
Now what year was that? Remember?
Gosh, I cannot remember. This was not for horses. This was for exotic birds.
Yeah, okay.
Birds in South Florida are like thoroughbreds in Kentucky. It's a big, big deal in Florida. And the underwriters at Lloyd's have millions of dollars of insurance on exotic birds. And the aviary at the Miami Zoo ended up in the Gulf of Mexico. So it was a big claim.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would you determine
You know, I can't figure out, well, how did this bird die? You know, I mean, what happened there? You
know? If you find a bird, you find a bird in a cage and his feathers are all gone and he's laying down, you pretty well determine he's dead.
I know, I don't. I would understand that.
I mean, that pretty well.
How about the cause? That's what I was talking about.
Well, when I flew into the Miami airport, is 3 days after Hurricane Andrew, because the airport was closed. There was no power. You could see all the palm trees all laying to the west like a giant had come in and laid them down with his hand. So there wasn't any doubt in my mind that Hurricane Andrew had been through there.
Yeah.
And then when I got to Homestead, Florida, every other stoplight, there was a National Guardsman with a, so what to me looked like a submachine gun. Because during Hurricane Andrew, looting was a big, big problem.
Is that right? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And
the Homestead, that's right about Gulfstream Park down in there, isn't it? Isn't that where Gulfstream is?
I don't know where Gulfstream is.
Well, it's
in Hallandale.
Between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. Right in there.
Now, I know Hialeah's down there, but I don't know of Gulfstream.
Well, Hialeah's
well, we're going back a little bit in Hialeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You ever been to Hialeah?
A long time ago. All I can remember is that tree-lined driveway going up into the track.
Still there.
Beautiful track.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. Quarter horses now, of course. Yeah. Well, that's fun. When you went to see Secretariat, you know, that had to be a tough decision, didn't it?
Well, let me try to condense it a little bit. Secretariat had foundered.
Yeah.
And one of the front feet. And, of course, he didn't have a whole lot of insurance because he had some age on him, too. But, after all, it was Secretariat, so... they reported it like they were supposed to. We appointed a consulting veterinarian. Under the insurance policy, the insurance company has the right to call in their man, to speak, to get a second opinion.
Did you call Doug all the time?
Well, at that time, we called Jim Beck. And Jim went out there and looked at the horse. And
Jim had been a farrier before.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, all right. I'll give him credit then. Okay. So he had some experience. But we had used Dr. Beck for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And he, as I said, he had foundered. Well, I was scheduled to make a trip to Geneva, Nebraska.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the other Geneva.
Yo, you had me.
I had a good agent in Geneva, Nebraska, who was our llama ostrich agent. And I went out there once a year to, we'd have... the best steaks in the USA at a little restaurant in York, Nebraska. That's another story. Anyway, I told Jim, I said, I don't want to leave town if anything's going to happen to this horse. And he said, no, Tom, he's doing well. He's comfortable. And again, as Dr. Proctor used to tell me, if they're eating and drinking, they ain't hurting too bad. Mm-hmm. So I took that to heart. So I flew out of Lexington on that 6 o'clock flight down to Atlanta, up to Omaha. And I was driving between Omaha and Lincoln to go to Geneva, Nebraska, and it's noontime, and I turned the radio on. And it came on, and it said, Secretary, the world-famous racehorse died last night, and then they went into some detail and so forth. Well, it's like somebody hit me in the stomach. I mean, I was just, I couldn't believe it. Well, this was before cell phones, so I drove far enough to find a payphone. I called the office and I said, I just heard this on the radio, and this is 12 o'clock. I think they put him down at 10:30 in the morning. It was really quick. Yeah. And I said, what in the world happened? And they said they had talked to Dr. Beck. I left it with my associate there to handle. And he foundered in all 4 feet.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And his FOU feet, all 4 of his feet. He was down. He could not get up. He literally did not have a leg to stand on, so they put him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No question there.
No.
If I can add a little note to that, I often say that I see many horses that were born too soon. And Secretariat had metabolic syndrome, but we didn't know what metabolic syndrome was back in those days. And we do now, but he was just born too soon, and his weight got to him, and he couldn't metabolize the byproducts of the metabolic syndrome, and it went to his feet.
Okay.
I got started out foundered in the back. worse than the front.
Yeah, wow. I got to take a little break here.
All right.
We just talked through one segment.
All right, we'll finish that secretariat story when we come
okay,
back.
Okay, be right back.
All right.
Well, Unbridled Song has sired 13 Grade 1 stakes winners, and arguably the fastest is First Defense. First Defense sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20 and 4 at Belmont, and won 21 and 2 at Saratoga, and won 22 and 1 at Churchill Downs. Broke his maiden by 8 1/4 lengths as a 2-year-old at Belmont Park. Sprinted 6 furlongs and won 09 and 2 to take the Grade 3 Jiper Stakes at Belmont. Carried his speed around 2 turns to win the Long Branch Breeders' Cup at Monmouth Park. That was his first start in a stakes race. Won the Grade 1 4-go handicap at Saratoga and ran a game second to Hardspun in the Grade 1 King's Bishop. First Defense is by the top by a top sire out of Grade 1 stakes win Honest Lady by Seattle Slough, out of the great producer Troussard. Dam of 4 Grade 1 stakes winners, 2 successful sires. He stands for $7,500 live foal at Judd Mond Farm, home also of the Grade 1 stakes winner Mizzen Mass. Mizzen Mass ended 2011 by siring a Grade 1 stakes winner and began 2012 by siring a Grade 3 stakes winner. He stands for $12,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Hey, Jackie, you want to help me with Tom Biedemann over here, Biedemann Real Estate and Auctioneers real quick?
Okay.
Since you're a good friend.
He sold one down the road from us.
He sells a lot of them.
I know, but he's got another one down the road from us, too, now. He's got also a new one I noticed over on Greenwich. As it gets close to that curve that goes out to Russell Cave.
Oh, okay. Almost to Russell Cave.
Yeah, almost to Russell Cave. It's a beautiful piece of land. It goes back, and I'm pretty sure that's the creek back there, the Elkhorn, and that's a nice piece of property.
I'm trying to think.
It feeds the Elkhorn, but there's something in the back. It's beautiful.
It might feed the Elkhorn, but I know
yeah,
that
maybe
land
the Elkhorn's
pretty good
on the other side.
It ain't the Elkhorn.
But it's beautiful. I mean, that's a gorgeous piece of property. It's very level, rolling but level. So it's got a lot of nice grazing stuff on there.
I used to think it was Elkhorn, E-L-C-O-R-N. I guess I was 20 years old before I knew it was Elkhorn. Shows
amazing.
What I know. Well, anyway, Tom has a great website. It's biedemannbrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, brokerage.com. Phone number is 277-2030. This is a guy that, he's just an outstanding broker. He's somebody you can trust and somebody that will absolutely do his best for you. And he probably sells as much land around here as anybody.
Well, he knows horse farms. He knows horses.
Well, he's a horseman himself.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
so.
Even fox hunts, so he's a little on the crazy side.
Yeah, fox hunts when his wife can drag him out there.
Yeah, a little on the crazy side if you're doing
that.
Yeah,
that's
that,
okay.
But, right. I know because my wife used to do it. So.
Yeah, it is crazy. Right. Used to get back and say, thank God I made it.
Well, anyway, that's Tom Biedemann, Real Estate and Auctioneers, biedemannbrokerage.com at 277-$20. And 30 cents. You can remember it real well that way. Let me see what else I got. Oh, I got to do something for Pope McLean, and he's got a nice son of Giants Causeway. Of course, Giants Causeway topped the sire list again in 2011, according to figures published in the Thoroughbred Times. Sired the winners of over 12,309,000. He was also the leading sire of 2011 stakes winners at 21. Noble Causeway is a Grade 1 runner by Giants Causeway out of the tough race mare Mimi's Golden Girl. She's by Seeking a Goal, and she's out of Classy Kathy, winner of the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Ashland, and the Grade 1 Gazelle, and she earned more than $537,000. First foals by Noble Causeway, raced at 2 last year. He's a sire of 17 first crop starters to win a place, including a stakes winner and 2 others that placed in stakes. That's a nice start for a young sire whose progeny will improve, like their sire, when asked to go a distance of ground. Noble Causeway, $5,000 doing a foal stands and nurses at Crestwood Farm, home of Kipling, Mutata, No Biz Like Showbiz, Tis Deja Vu. Inquiries to Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Righty, well, I'm talking to Tom Dixon, and he was telling us a story about the secretary. Go get back at it, Tom.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to add, during the postmortem, Dr. Tom Swerzik, the UK diagnostic lab, did the postmortem exam on the horse, and the most amazing thing was the size of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
It was double or a little more than double the size of a normal heart. And I think, Doug, the heart basically is just a big muscle. Isn't that correct?
It is.
Okay.
The pump.
And if you saw the movie, and I trust everybody here did, when he came down that stretch into Belmont, I mean, it was tearful. But that heart was pumping up a storm. And he had that great, great engine in his body. And that was the most dramatic thing about the postmortem was the size of his heart. Mm-hmm. And many, many bloodstock agents now are trying to figure out ways to measure the heart in these yearlings, maybe giving them a leg up on understanding whether or not this horse is going to be good on the racetrack.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'd heard that. Yeah, go ahead, Doc.
And that's not a proven entity. A lot of these yearlings have yet to develop their hearts. So what you see on the day of the sale may not represent what they'll be like as a three-year-old.
Always a fly in the ointment, isn't it?
Knowledge gets in the way all the time.
Yeah, right. What are these horses? Any of these that you stand out in your mind?
Well, we mentioned Aladar. That could take up the whole morning and the rest of the day to talk about Aladar. Nijinsky the second was an interesting case, also founder. Mm-hmm. And he at one point, they did some really dramatic founder treatment. Rick Redden did some dramatic founder treatment on Nijinsky. But he pulled through, and for a while, they did not want to walk him from from his stall to the breeding shed. And I'll stand corrected by Mr. Hancock, but I believe they bought the mare to the stall and bred him that way for a while after he had that bad case of founder. Doug's going to correct me here, I think.
I'm not going to correct you at all. He had a chronic, what they call a lymphangitis of his hind leg, mm-hmm. and so it would swell and he would get sore. And so eventually he foundered in the front. But Dr. Kaufman, Walter Kaufman, had me out several times on the lymphangitis. And the horse got down one time, and Walter called me, said, "I think we need to quit." And so I went out there, and it was miraculous. He popped right up on to all 4 feet.
Saw you coming.
Yeah, I guess he saw us coming. And he, anyway, got up, but it was about a month later that he was down. But he had a lot of chronic problems with that hind limb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he lived for about 6 or 7 years after that episode of that founder. And I might mention, we've talked a lot about founder. We haven't talked a whole lot about colic. Colic is the number one cause of death in horses. For one full year, we kept track of horses and the causes of their injuries or accidents or whatever. And colic was by far the biggest cause of death in horses. And horses can't vomit. And if their gut shuts down, it can only go one way. And if it can't go that way, the horse is in terrific pain. And the stress that it brings on with Aladar, a secondary problem with him was after the surgery, they put him in a sling because he didn't know what to do with that right rear leg. He kept trying to throw it off. It was covered with a cast from his hoof down to his hock. And they had him in a sling, and he started to colic. It was a typical damned if you do and damned if you don't. They said, "We're going to have to get him out of that sling or he's going to die from colic." So they took him out of the sling, and he didn't know what to do with that right rear leg. If you can imagine a horse with a cast on it, and I was standing outside looking through a small window at him, and he walked forward. He shook like a dog coming in out of the rain, and he lost his balance, and he fell back, and that right rear leg went under his body, and he sat on it, and he fractured the femur. And it popped out. It was compounded, and that was the end.
That was it.
We put him down.
Yeah. Boy.
So the surgery was great.
But the patient died.
But the patient died, right, yeah.
I've heard that one before, too. Go ahead, Doc.
A little footnote on that. I'm just adding a lot of footnotes along here. But Calumet had their own surgical facility. Dr. Harthill had designed it.
So I didn't
right
know
there
that.
On the premise there. And so they had everything they needed to work with. And I always say horses find a way. Well, he found a way to...
Yeah. But, Tom, what are you doing now?
I'm retired. I do a lot of volunteer work. I do some consulting work. I'm not making a living doing it, but I don't do it to make a living. I just love the horse business. I've been in it, as I said, fooling around with it since I was 16 years old. And I just like the business. I like to help people who are having difficulty involving insurance claims. And that's basically it. I'm active at my church, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, hell, that sounds like quite a bit. What? You were 16 years old when you went out to Man of War's funeral on your bike. And how far did you have to ride that bike?
How far is Fairway Farm from Woodland Park? I don't know. I would
Fairway have, Farm?
Faraway Farm.
Faraway. Mm-hmm. Is it Faraway or
from
Fair?
Woodland? You rode all the way from Woodland?
Oh, yeah. We during the war, a cousin and my on bicycles, we rode to Richmond.
Is
and
that
came,
right?
Came back home across the Valley View Ferry.
Well, hell, gas was cheap at that time.
Yeah, there weren't any cars on the road. We didn't.
No, you could get by with that.
No, I guess I forgot now who it was, but somebody said, and I agree with him, some of the greatest experiences he had as a child was his adventures on his bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
I never will forget the fun I had on my bicycle.
I didn't have to ride my bicycle there that day. I went with my dad. And because we were right over on Dixiana, though, where we lived, and I could ride over there on my bicycle.
Yeah.
You know, I got to see him, you know, many times.
Yeah. We rode out Tate's Creek Pike. Gainesway Farm is on Tate's Creek Pike at that time.
Yeah.
Parked our bicycles by the little creek running in front of the farm, ate our peanut butter sandwiches.
Merrick Bridge, they called it.
Yeah. Great place. The old Gainesway Farm.
Yeah. Somebody calling me. They're just calling me to tell me my phone's on. That's my walkie-talkie. Yeah, tell him the Rankin Farm is down here. There you go. The new my race. Well, Tom, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you coming by this morning.
All right, it's my pleasure. Anytime.
Yeah, anytime. Well, we can go on from here, but
okay.
I got to get old Michael on. And Doc, you got anything you want to add to this morning? They will.
No, because I knew Tom was going to come, and I thought people would enjoy listening to him. So you notice I don't even have my little note card with
well,
me.
Well, the only thing I don't like about him is he's a Henry Clay graduate, but other than that, we were big rivals at that. What year did you graduate?
49. Does that sound right?
Well, it sounds right to me. Okay. The same year I graduated.
1949. Henry Clay Blue Devils.
Yeah.
Versus the Lafayette Generals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Did you play any sports over there, Tom?
Big court.
Did you play any sports over there?
No.
I just wondered if I went up against you a couple of times.
No. Like I told you, I weighed 98 pounds. John Heber coached football and basketball.
Yeah.
When I was
they're 50, in a single wing.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
All right.
When I was 15 years old, I lied to get a job, and I got a job working at the drugstore across the street called Jake's.
Yeah, I remember right across the school.
Yeah,
the school.
Deliver.
You remember Velvet's over there?
Where
you
could go ice and, cream.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we right. talk all day about all those.
I started naming some of these cheerleaders I used to date from Henry Clay, but I better not.
Yeah, they're all 80.
I don't want. Yeah, they're all 80 now. I don't want to tarnish their reputations.
Finally, gave them something to cheer about.
Yeah. Right.
No, that was. That was my start of my work life, 50 cents an hour.
Is that right?
That's
well,
right.
Well, hell, that was a lot of money, Mike.
I enjoyed having it.
Yeah, when I was, my allowance was less than that when I was about 10, 12 years old. They gave me 50 cents. And I'd go to town, go to a movie, and go get a soda afterwards, buy a funny book.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, Tom, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, well, January 14th at Oaklawn, Najjar, 3-0 Colt in the first crop by Jazzle.
bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, won a $40,000 maiden special with a running style reminiscent of his sire. Five lengths back at the eighth pole in the mile in the 16th event, Najjar closed with a rush to win going away. Najjar had just missed in a maiden special at Keenan, closing fastest of all, to drop a nose decision, going a mile and a 16th, and he displayed a similar style to place in maiden specials at Churchill and at Arlington. He's one of seven winners from the first crop by the classic winner, Jazzle, winner of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, a half-brother to yet another winner of the Belmont Stakes, champion filly Rags to Riches. It's a family loaded with classic performers. Rags to Riches also won the Kentucky Oaks, half-brother Man of Iron, a champion in Ireland, won the Breeders' Cup Marathon, second dam Blush with Pride, won the Kentucky Oaks, and is also grand dam of an Irish Oaks winner, that's Peeping Fawn, and the list goes on and on. It's a fantastic pedigree. Jazzle, 7,500 live foal to spendthrift at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Want to talk a little bit about Quill and Tack? You timing something, Jackie?
Huh?
You timing something right now? You are?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. People working horses out is very inconsiderate of him while I'm on air. I want to talk a little bit about my friend Ralph Quillen over at Quillen Tack. And Ralph is a good friend of mine, and I got to try to stay on his good side, so maybe he'll give me a discount on something I buy from him, or buy all my supplies from him. But I haven't got that discount yet. But he's a great guy, and it's a great tack shop. Probably the best in Kentucky. Probably might be the best in the United States. I know he sells more halters than any other tack shop in the country. Close to 20,000 halters worldwide a year he sells. Gets them done, gets them sold because the people that buy his products come back. They're great products, great leather products. He's got great people working for him. And he's got a wonderful gift shop there, too, at Quill and Tack. It's right down in Paris in Bourbon County. And if you coming in from the Lexington area and going into Paris, just go to the third stoplight, and all right on the left you'll see the shop. And, of course, his website is quillin.com. That's Quillin.com. So go down there and see my good friend Ralph, and tell him Ursel sent you. So we'll make a living. And here comes Amelia Foyoung. Come right on in, Amelia. If you're timing something, go over there. All right. Let's see, where else am I right now? That was, okay. He was undefeated at 2 and a champion at 3-4. That's U.S. Ranger. He's one of 9 champions, 2,202 stakes winners by the great Danzig, sire of Dane Hill, the world's leading sire of stakes winners. His dam is by the top sire of Red Ransom, sire of 108 stakes winners, and the son of Roberto, sire of 86 stakes winners. And she's a half-sister to Dinah Former, sire of 125 stakes winners, out of the grade 1 stakes winner Andover Way. It's an outstanding pedigree, a pedigree loaded with the winners of major stakes and leading sires. The first foals by U.S. Ranger are yearlings. They're outstanding. In fact, his first crop weanlings sold for an average of over 10 times the 2012 stud fee of $5,000 live foal. And that fee is not due until the foal stands and nurses. What's more, there's a 5% discount if the fee is paid by November 1 of the year bred. So you're welcome to inspect U.S. Ranger and the Windstar Farm Stallions. Just contact Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett at 873-1717. Check the website at windstarfarm.com. And did you notice that the Pasiana Stakes at Handicap at Santa Anita was won by Ella Fitz, a daughter of Tisnow, bred by Mineola Farm David Houchin and James Hirschman. And, of course, the great Tisnow also stands at Windstar Farm.
I'm heading down the highway, has a tear in both eyes, thinking of my
fool. That horse is full. Good, there's a testimonial. Testimonial for U.S. Ranger, and Amelia Foyon says that that his first foals are gorgeous and that his book's full. How about that? Well, you tried it. Millie, are you trying to angle for a free season over there or something?
Okay.
All right. Well, we've had Tom Dixon on already. Matt Strait's supposed to be in here pretty soon. And, of course, Dr. Doug Bauer was here. And now I've got my good friend, Michael Blowen, from old friends. And, Michael, it was fun talking about
it. Oh, it's great. I love talking about this. You know, it's...
I don't have many contemporaries around, you know.
I know. When you start talking about riding bicycles, eating ice cream in the drugstore, and this guy remembers, I'm going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like I said last week, I'm part of the youth movement in this show.
Yeah, right. You probably are. He's just now starting to draw Social Security.
There you go. Oh, my goodness. Well,
what's going on over your way, my friend?
It's going great, Ursel. Diamond Stripes, this horse, we just got up from Sunland Parks, doing really, really well. It's a very smart horse. And, of course, most people may remember he won the Godolphin Mile. He was a really, really nice horse. He won over $1 million, and he's doing really good. Marquetry's never looked better. He's come out of his colic surgery really, really well.
Good.
And
good.
I hope to have some news in a few weeks about some other nice horses that will be coming to Old Friends.
Oh, more?
Yeah, that's our job. That's our job.
Are you utilizing the new property that you've leased now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Janet and Kent are over there, and Janet's starting to work with some really nice retraining programs for some of the younger horses. Mm-hmm. In fact, she just sent me some pictures of Falcon Scott, Jerry Moss's horse, who's been retrained and is now living with Angela. And today he's getting his first dressage lesson.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a full brother to Giacomo and Tiago.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. So, could he run as good as them?
Well, let me put it this way.
No.
But it's an interesting story. I mean, in the middle of all the things that Zenyatta was doing, I think it was on the Monday or Tuesday after Zenyatta had won her 17th race, Jerry called me, and he said that he'd heard that this horse that he once owned named Falcon Scott was running for $2,500 and not very well at some track in the Midwest, and wanted to know if we could work on it. So I called Maggie Moss. She tracked down Falcon Scott.
She's been a big help to you guys.
Huge help.
Yeah.
Huge help. She's
well,
got a
nice
horse
lady
running today in the fourth at Aqueduct. If he gets in, he's going to be very tough.
Yeah.
Anyway, just thought I'd little
don't tell me she's giving
tip
you tips, too.
Anyway, so she got him, and she claimed him for us and sent him down here. But I think it's really interesting that Jerry Moss, in the middle of all the stuff that Zenyatta was doing, took time out to really care about this horse that he'd sold earlier as a breeding prospect, and he was very alarmed to see that he was back on the racetracks.
Yeah, wow.
So we got him, and now he's going on to another career, and then when he's done with that career, he can come back.
Yeah, that's as a stud.
No, we yelled at him. Dr. Bulmer came by and
you
took
don't
care
often
of that.
You don't often gale them.
No. Only the young ones and the ones that never been bred.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that horse that we got, that we rescued, we had to gild him. He was a 7-year-old. Stud. You know, he came. We went up to River Downs and picked him up. And he got off the trail. He thought he was bull ruler coming home, you know. I mean, he wanted to breed everything on the farm.
Yeah.
But we took care of that.
Yeah, we still have some of those down. Afternoon Delights, every time he sees a bus go by, he thinks it's full of mares for him.
Is that?
Oh, yeah. Up and down the fence. Here I am. He bellows.
Well, he's not too long out of the breeding shed.
It's funny how many of the horses that we have retired our farm are still in the leading stallion list of the various state programs.
Yeah, his would have been Louisiana, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And you win this week's prize.
For what?
On the Ursel Ellis Show for guessing the magic question, the magic answer.
Oh. I wouldn't have brought it up if I hadn't known. Oh, I fake it a lot, though.
You win a free tour at Old Friends.
Oh, well.
With all the trimmings.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that, a free Sam Adams?
Yeah, right. You can get one of those. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because
uh-oh,
this is great news. The Saratoga Brewing Company up in Saratoga Springs is going to come out next summer during the Saratoga meet, maybe even before that, with Old Friends beer.
Oh, well, good.
And they're designing the taps now. It'll only be available on tap, but...
They going to bring some down?
I am, believe me. I'm making, oh, yeah. I don't know what the state laws are about bringing beer across state lines, but I'm going to disguise it. Anyway, the great thing is their designer came out, and the pull tabs are going to be the horses. So it'll be like one of them's going to be Will's Way.
Yeah.
And another one will be Thunder Rumble.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
And they're using the New York horses up there.
Yeah, because that's where the brewery is. But I'm hoping that been wanting to do it down here for a long time. Because I think it would be a lot of fun. Plus, I could go drink the beer and feel like I was given to a good cause.
An excuse.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But this they make really good beer, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We have the Old Friends Along the Bourbon Trail coming up again this year. This will be our third annual Old Friends Along the Bourbon Trail at the Seelbach Hotel at the end of February. So,
end of February? Mm-hmm. That's getting close.
Yeah.
Just about a month away now.
Yeah, we'd like to thank all the bourbon people that participate. It's always a great event for us, and we've already got a lot of reservations. So,
how's the calendar sales going?
Great. I think we only got like 80 calendars left, and we used to have some left over all the time.
I got one hanging right up behind me on the wall.
Oh, yeah, there's Bull in the Heather.
I got one here and one at home hanging up on the wall.
Nice.
Right behind me both ways, my desk.
Well, Bull in the Heather, this is another great thing. Bull in the Heather's got his own briar horse.
He has?
Yes, it's coming out in first week of February.
Well, why'd they pick him? Because he's great.
Exactly. See, now he wins the other prize. Holy mackerel. It's a landslide today. It's coming out the first week of February, and it'll be retail for like $20. And we'll have them available at the fabulous new revised, cleanly painted Old Friends gift shop.
Not only that, they'll have it at the, they have that big convention over at the horse park.
I know. We're going to have a shuttle going back and forth so people can buy the horse and then come get their picture taken with the horse.
Oh, my God. You think of everything, don't you?
Well, not everything, but I think a goofy idea. I'm in charge of the Old Friends goofy idea department.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking that's not goofy. Nothing goofy about that. I think it's very clever.
I think this could work.
Oh, well, yeah. Not that I'm into buying briar horses, but...
I had a couple of people come on tours this week, and when they found out he was getting a thing, these 10-year-old girls were, like, literally jumping up and down. I mean, they were so excited. They wanted to go meet him.
That's a big deal. That's one of the biggest things they have at the horse park.
Yeah. Vivian Morrison, one of our volunteers, has been working on this for a long time, and we've been trying to get it done for a while. And if it works out well, then they'll do an Old Friend's horse every year.
Oh. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
I got to take a break here.
You do?
You all through with me? Or
well, whatever you say.
You're welcome to stay on one day.
I know. This is so much excitement. I don't know. But I do have to go bet a horse. Hey, listen, I have a new segment I want to start.
All right. What's that?
Picking losers. Okay?
Picking losers.
Yeah. Now, this is the idea. Tell me, and then people can write in and tell you what you think.
Listen, I've been doing that for years.
Me too. But I finally realized how it could pay off.
That's the easy part of the game.
This is how you can pay off. Now, every week I will give people a horse who's going off at odds of 10 to 1 or more, double-digit odds on the morning line, who they should include in their exotic. So what I do now, since I can't pick winners, I try to pick horses that can finish third or fourth. And if you do that with the exotics, it can work out pretty good because you can hit 10-cent superfectas and all that sort of thing now because you can play all the way to about. So I'm just going to give you this one horse today. All right?
Okay, here's
this is our
Michael Blowen's loser of the day.
Picking losers. This horse is guaranteed not to win, but guaranteed to finish somewhere third or fourth.
All right. Go ahead.
It's in the fourth race at Aqueduct.
A lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure. you have to look for a couple things. You have to find a jockey that rides his horses out.
Okay.
You know, you have to that persevere. You have to find trainers that, you know, that want their horses to run full out every single time. They're not just going out for exercise. So the trainer is Tom Bush, and he's 10 for 27 in the money at Aqueduct.
All right.
So that's pretty good. And he's switching to Junior Alvarado, and Junior Alvarado rides all his horses out. He's over 100 for 197 in the money.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And Gypsy Warrior finished third last time at 22-1 for 7,500 non-winners of two lifetimes.
And he's 3-5 today.
No, he's 10-1.
Okay.
This part of the you got to understand what the rules are in the picking losers department. What's the matter with you?
You should have talked to my friend Shotgun over here,
huh?
Ron Isbell. He got beat an inch last night at 97-1.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. In fact, they didn't think, Battaglia thought that he'd won it. It was that close.
Now, one of the downsides of this arrangement, if you have a little extra money, you want to play him second, too, because I had a horse the other day that I played. It was 99-1, and I played him third and fourth, and he finished second. And the exacta came back over $1,000 with the favorite. And I said, stop.
No, everybody else is going.
Stop!
Slow down!
Slow down!
You know, you have to reorient your horse racing psychology if you're picking losers. So.
Well, I'd fit right in there, I'll tell you. Okay. Hey, I got to take this break. All right, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ursula. Come by and see us, everybody. It's supposed to be a beautiful day tomorrow.
Where's your other guest?
Well, he hadn't shown up.
He just took his father back to the barn, and he'll be back.
Okay. Oh, is he coming back?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
He better be coming back.
Oh, okay. He's a good jockey to bet, too, in the picking losers department, because he always rides horses up.
Matt? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he'll give you a good
he's
honest on my, ride.
He's in the top 10.
Yeah. Okay. Talking about Matt Strait. He's supposed to show up here. Oh. All right, see you guys later. Doc, thanks for bringing Tom in. It was fun talking to him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
He's got a lot more stories.
I bet he does.
I'd add footnotes forever.
Okay. All right. Well, Lionel David is a grade one stakes winner by Lionheart, the sire of 27 two-year-old winners in 2011, ranking second only to Scat Daddy in that category. Three of the 27 won stakes. He ranked eighth on the juvenile sire list, and he sired the winner of the Jimmy Wingfield Stakes just last Monday at Aqueduct. Lionheart is a grade one stakes winner of more than $1,390,000 by Taylor the Cat, who ranked eighth on the 2011 general sire list. Both Lionheart and Taylor the Cat are sire winners of Breeders' Cup races, and this is the famed Stormcat sire line. Line of David led all the way to win the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, defeating a crack field, which included three Grade 1 stakes winners. He won the direct expense at the direct expense of Super Saver, winner in his next start of the Kentucky Derby. Line of David went into the Arkansas Derby off two consecutive one-mile scores, the second in 1:34-2. Line of David's dam is a Grade 1 producer from the family, which has already given us the great sire, Mr. Prospector, and dozens more. He is to stand the 2012 season for $7,500 due in a full stance and nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Be sure to inquire about breeding incentives. Just ask Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffee, and see the website at spendthrift.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, the Eclipse Award winners, and this is the compliments of my good friend David Schweitzer over at Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. He wants to point out to you that the horse of the year, an older female, Harvey de Gras, was bred by Nancy Dillman, and she is a Kentucky bred. The 2-year-old male Hanson is a Kentucky bred. 2-year-old male champion, Dr. Kendall Hanson, bred that one. The 2-year-old female was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The 3-year-old male was bred by Team Valor. That's Barry Irwin, of course, who lives down for sales. And of course, that's the Animal Kingdom. And the 3-year-old female was bred by Paladies Investments and was raised by Ron Wallace right over here at Shante. What's the name of that farm? Shante Clare Farm. Mm-hmm. That Tom, Ron Wallace was with. So that's 5 Eclipse Award winners. Let's see, California, that were Kentucky breds. California had 2, Florida 1, France 1, and Ireland 2. So the horses foaled in this country, 5 of the 8. We're full right here in the Bluegrass Stakes. And let's see, other stakes winners last weekend that were Kentucky breds. Tapazar won the San Fernando Stakes. It's a grade 2 at Santa Anita. He's bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. The Santa Ynez Stakes also at Santa Anita went to Renee's Got Zip. Bred by, I'm not sure I can know how to pronounce this gentleman's name, but I'm trying. First name is John. I can handle that. Leviakis, L-I-V-I-A-K-I-S. I hope that's right. Anyways, Kentucky bred, and I know John is right. The grade 3 Fort Lauderdale went to Silver Medallion, and of course, Burry Jones bred that one, and he's by Burry Stallion Badger Silver
over at Airdrie Stud. He's won, what, four stakes now, three of them graded. California Derby winner, Russian Greek. He's by Giants Causeway, bred by Overbrook Farm. This colt might be a Derby horse. He looks pretty good. The Passiano Stakes at Santa Anita went to Ella Fitz, five-year-old mare by Tisnow, bred by Mineola Farm, two at Mineola Farm right over here on Bryan Station Road. David Houchins and Tom Hirschman, another Kentucky bred. The Pasco Stakes down at Tampa Bay went to Perspective, a three-year-old colt by Malibu Moon, bred by Spendthrift Farm. And let's see, is that it? No, with the Wishing Well. Right down here at Turfway, winner was Lou's Angel, a five-year-old mare of Cactus Ridge, bred by, let me see if I can find it, John T.O. Jones, Jr. All righty, Cactus Ridge now over, incidentally, at Claiborne Farm. No, Calumet Farm, excuse me. I'll get that right in just una momento. And I better do this real quick because of time limitations. I'm going to do my vinery right on top here, and then we'll have a station ID, which is about 5 minutes late. Well, last Saturday at Oaklawn, the Dixie Belle Stakes was won by Now I Know, a three-year-old filled by Pure Prize. Now I Know is undefeated in six career starts. In fact, she's led at every call in all six of her starts. Along the way, she's won three stakes, and she went into the Dixie Belle off a victory in the Grade 3 Delta Princess Stakes for earnings of more than $446,000. Now, last year, Pure Prize, himself a proven Grade 1 sire, sired 15 stakes winners and the earners of more than $5,739,000. Standing for $7,500 due in the foal stands and nursery, he is arguably the best bargain sire in Kentucky. Pure Prize stands at Vinery, Kentucky, where, with world-class facilities also in Florida and New York, you can find the answer to whatever your needs in the thoroughbred industry, from foaling to the winner's circle. Just contact John Gasper, Grant Williams, Francis Rillahan, or Steve Castanola at Vinery, Kentucky, 455-9388, and see the website at vinery.com.
I hope he doesn't think
it. No, I don't think so.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Well, last Saturday, Gulfstream, the grade $300,000 Fort Lauderdale Stakes, was won by Silver Medallion, a four-year-old colt from the first crop by Badge of Silver. Bred by Brad and C. Jones and sold as a yearling for $150,000. Silver Medallion has won stakes at 2, 3, and 4 for earnings of over $426,000. He has won four stakes, including graded stakes at Gulfstream, Calder, and Golden Gate. Went into the Fort Lauderdale after victory in the Grade 3 Tropical Park Handicap. Silver Medallion has also sired King Kanji, winner of the Grade 3 Tropical Park Derby, and placed in four other stakes, including the Grade 1 Bluegrass and the Grade 3 Saranac. Fly Lexus Fly, multiple Grade 1 stakes winner in South America. Doug's Buddy, winner of three stakes in Canada, is a two-year-old last year. And Hollywood Park stakes winner Sparkling Style. Two others have placed in stakes. Silver Leo in the $149,000 display stakes at Woodbine. El Romano at Calder. All that in his first two crops. Badger Silver won four graded stakes. Placed in four more. Three of them Grade 1, earned over $1 million. It stands for $6,000 live foal with breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, The Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Run that body one more time.
All righty, well, we're starting the second hour. At first, it was quite active.
It was funny.
The crowd has thinned out. We must have had 10 people in this little old place this morning.
It was fun.
Including Matt Howard's little boy, Dutcher.
Dutcher made his radio debut.
Oh, he's been on the air before. He's getting to be an old hand at this.
He's so funny. Cute little kid.
Yeah.
Matt, if you're listening and you have Matt Straight's phone number, tell him to come on over. He's supposed to be our interview this morning. Now, his father was here at the top of the hour. And I said, is Matt here? And he said, yeah, he's right down there. And he waved to me from the truck. Then they both disappeared.
No.
So I don't know where they went.
Well, anyway. Well, if he shows up, fine. Matt, if you're listening, come on by. It's not too late. We got a whole another hour to do. Jackie, I guess you can start.
I just don't want him to think we go to 12 today because we're finished at 11 on account of
Logan. I told him. Okay. He knows, I think.
Okay. Well, he's got a dark maroon, big dark maroon truck. So
well, he won't bring it up here. But
well, he has to park it. Okay.
Oh, let me start out your announcements with this.
Okay.
Winners out of the Thoroughbred Center. And, of course, they've just raced 6 days. What? Clocker phone's ringing. Just raced, how many days we had? 10 days of racing so far at Turfway this month, all this month. And we have had 15 winners in those 10 days. And since the last week's show, Dan Pitts saddled a winner.
Yeah.
Elise Reed, Oscar Modica, Jeff McKay, Tanya Balmitas, and last night we had two at Turfway, Maria Pinzon and Helma Jackson. Now my phone's ringing. Hang on a second.
Okay. What?
Listen to this. You want to answer that for me? Matt Howard put that crazy ring on there for me. Well, the ring I used to have sounded just like the ring at the... for the clocker stand, and I was always picking up the wrong one, you know, okay. Wrong phone. So he changed it for me, and he put some jab thing here. So, all right, what else was I going to talk about? Oh, okay. Well, anyway, maybe Matt Straight will be here. I'll get her off the phone here in just a minute.
Thank you. Okay. Obviously, thanks. That was Chris McCarron with Matt's phone number.
Oh, okay. Chris McCarron with Matt's phone number. Tell him.
Warm
call him up.
To skin a cat.
Yeah, right. Well, at least we know who my other listener was now. It's Chris McCarron. Let me talk about this. Let me read this over here a minute since Jackie's not doing the announcements, obviously, this news. I got this newsletter from one of my favorite rescue organizations. And, of course, that's got a picture on the cover of one of my favorite people. And this, of course, is from New Vocations Resource Adoptions. And it's got some notes in here. And one of them is my good friends over at Windstar, in that they auctioned all this memorabilia off and gave the money to New Vocations. And they raised $15,800 in that auction. They auctioned. Let's see, what was the I'm trying to see what they offered. I never can find out that. Oh, Breeders' Cup paddock blanket for Drosselmeyer.
That's nice.
25 autographed hats along with halters from Super Saver, Distorted Humor, and Tiz Now. And geez, that is. That's awful nice, those people over at Windstar. They really contribute to the horse industry around here.
They do.
And here you go, Jackie.
Well, you know, New Vocations is wonderful. It's one of my favorites. Oh, Matt didn't answer his phone.
Think Matt's avoiding us?
I don't know. Looks like it to me. He waved to me, so I don't know. What they do is they take horses, and if they're relatively sound... They take them.
Is that Lisa Malloy's picture on the cover?
Yes, Lisa Malloy's picture is on the cover.
It's a wonderful picture.
They will take a horse with, say, that's got a chip, and they have the chip removed, turn it out, you know, that kind of stuff where it's fairly easy to rehab.
Yeah.
And they do the most wonderful. They find homes. They find two or three homes a week for these horses. She turns them over. The minute she gets them, she turns them out for a day or two, gets on them and trail rides them and jumps them in the, you know, indoor and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an...
She does a great job.
Incredible. Oh, she's just... It's amazing. besides Windstar helping, there's a wonderful horse in here I saw that... Oh, that one. My wife... What was the name of that horse with a funny name? It was on CNN or one of them. Anyway, what they did, Nick Zito's wife, Kim, adopted the horse and turned it over to New Vocations. And they got it a job, and it's just, you know, I mean, it's wonderful. If you've got something that's relatively sound...
I bet that's Matt Street.
That's Matt. Here, okay. You talk to Matt on my phone. This is
all right.
Insane. Okay.
Hey, Matt.
Toba.
It's Ursula. You coming over?
Yeah.
He's coming.
Oh,
he's coming. Hey.
Okay. We'll. All right. Thank you.
Okay. He had to work something. That's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, well, that would take precedence. That would take precedence. Okay. Toba has seminars and clinics all through the year. And there's a couple in March there at Hollandale Beach, Florida. But May 3rd, there's an ownership seminar in Louisville. That would be at Churchill Downs. And a breeding clinic here, June the 1st through the 3rd, which sounds a little late to have a breeding clinic, but what do I know? Pedigree and confirmation clinics. There'll be one at Saratoga and one during Keeneland's fall meet.
Let me interrupt you.
Okay.
All right. Well, opening day at Oaklawn, the fifth season stakes was won by Color Me Blue, son of Flatter, bred by Charles Knuckles Jr. and Sons. Color Me Blue is the 20th stakes winner by Flatter, the sire of 2011 of seven stakes winners and earners of more than $5,360,000. Rank well up on the North American sire list. Four of his seven 2011 stakes winners won graded stakes, including grade one stakes winner Flat Out, winner of the grade one Jockey Club Gold Cup. Two others, graded stakes winners Tar Heel Mom and Apart, placed in grade one stakes. In fact, Flatter sired 15% stakes horses lifetime, with 20 to win a place in stakes last year. Color Me Blue is a typical Flatter. The fifth season stakes was his seventh win and has been on the board in 15 of his 17 starts. If you want a runner with class and durability, well, look to Flatter for $15,000 doing a full stands of nurses at Claiborne Farm. Flatter by AP Indiana Praise by Mr. Prospector. Inquiries at Bernie Sam. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality is still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Cape Blanco, winner of the Eclipse Award as champion turf horse and the finalist for Horse of the Year, standing his first season at Coolmore's Ashford Stud for $17,500, doing a full stands of nurses. Cape Blanco earned his Eclipse Award by winning three Grade 1 stakes in as many starts in the USA. The Grade 1 Man Award Belmont, the Grade 1 Arlington Million, and the Grade 1 Joe Hurst Turf Classic Invitational also at Belmont. He was undefeated as a two-year-old, taking the Grade 2 Futurity and the Grade 3 Tyros, and he came back at three to capture the Group 1 Irish Derby, Group 1 Champion Stakes, and Group 2 Dante Stakes. Cape Blanco's out is the son of Galileo, the leading sire in Europe in 2011. During 2011, Galileo was represented by 34 stakes winners. 11 group are grade 1 stakes winners, including Horse of the World, Frankel. Cape Blanco is the most distinguished son of Galileo yet to be retired to stud in this country. Check the website at Coolmore.com. And remember, leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
Run, old Molly, run, old Molly, run.
Wait here with me now, and Matt, a little tardy getting here because you had to work a horse. But the first work comes first, doesn't it?
That's it, yeah. Especially in this game.
Hey, all right. This is a horse that belongs to your family, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gray horse.
Big gray horse.
What's his name again?
Big Flirt.
Big Flirt, yep. Named after you?
Yeah. My brother will beg to differ, but...
Well, maybe it's named after both of you.
Yeah, we look alike, so...
Yeah, well, you're identical twins.
Yep.
Yeah, you are. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you came over. Now, Matt is a graduate of Chris McCarran School. Were you the first class?
Yeah, the first class.
Were you?
Yep.
Okay, who else was in that class?
Let's see. We had Jackie Davis was in there, Anna Roberts.
Is Anna riding anywhere now?
I think she's down at the fairgrounds.
Is she?
Yeah. I know she was here this spring and summer, and she was working for Ronnie Werner out there in Churchill. Mm-hmm. But I know she's been riding a few for him down there. Mm-hmm. So,
but Jackie's in New York now. You know, she went down on a horse the other day and got hurt.
Yeah, I saw
she's
that.
She's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
She just said she was a little sore. But she went to Suffolk and was riding up there. That had been experience riding at Suffolk Downs.
Yeah, I've never been, but she did well over there, though.
So. Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. Of course, her dad was a hell of a race rider.
Oh, yeah.
Have you met her little brother?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Here. Yeah. He isn't big as a... Just, he's tiny, isn't he?
Yeah. We go way back. I've known Jackie for a long time.
Yeah. Where are you from originally?
Upstate New York. Just outside of Albany, about 30 miles south of Saratoga. So. Yeah.
Was your family in the horse business?
No. Nope.
How'd you get interested?
They just took us up to Saratoga one day, and that was it. Me and Mike got hooked, and kept begging them to go back and back and back, and then we just fell in love with the game. So, and we were always small and athletic, so we figured it'd be awesome if we could be a jockey one day. So,
yeah. Did you play sports or in high school or something?
Yeah, you know, we were always pretty athletic, and played some sports. Not, you know, I was too small for football, too short for basketball. we always played around the neighborhood and stuff. And
yeah,
we were always competitive. So
yeah, well, it was. It's a fun game. It's a dangerous game, as you well know. Mm-hmm. But that's part of it. But how did you hear about the school?
I actually was reading the Blood Horse magazine one day, and I saw there was a little blurb in there about Chris opening the school, and I said, "Man, that sounds like my kind of place." So, you know, I inquired about it and put in an application.
You subscribe to the Blood Horse?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good.
we subscribed to the Blood Horse and Thoroughbred Times, so. Just get it. I got the information from there, and it was all history from there.
Yeah, yeah. You remember, had you been on horses? When was the first horse you started riding? I mean,
I took a handful of like show lessons when I was a kid, but not much. I hadn't had much experience in a.
So you really hadn't been, when you came to school. Not much experience sitting on a horse. Huh?
No, actually, our parents bought us an Equisizer for Christmas one year, and we rode that thing religiously.
Did it throw you any?
No, there was no spills or anything like that. But it was a cool toy for us back in the day. So yeah.
You didn't have two exercises where you could compete, did you?
No, it was always fighting over it. We'd always fight over who was going to get to ride to the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont.
Yeah,
it'd always be a fight over it, but it all worked out. It was It was awesome to have it as a little kid.
Well, what did you think of the school when you got here and started in?
It was tough, you know, long days, very long days, and it was always what I wanted to do. So, it was fun. I had a lot of fun over there.
Mm-hmm. What kind of horses did they put you on first?
We started at the horse park, and we were getting on some Mustangs actually at first, and riding in the arena up there, and
the enclosed arena.
Right. Yeah. Right. So.
That's so they could catch the horses.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't going to run too far. But we started with those and just graduated. When we came here, we came here to the training center, and we started back in the backfield, and then graduated from there to the track, and it was a process.
How many? You remember the first horse that threw you? Did he have anything to throw you over there?
You know what? I held the record. I was the last one to come off.
Were you?
Yeah, and it happened up in the field. And I think it was a horse who I called Deuce.
Is that?
Yeah, he got me out in the field. He spooked from something, and I just come off.
Yeah.
So I landed on my feet, though.
Did you?
But I guess it still counts.
So you... You beat your brother in that one, huh?
Yeah,
he'd come off before you.
Yeah,
that's something else. Well, I've enjoyed watching you kids out here getting started and everything, and going and riding. I remember a little Adam Bowman out here. They sent him out on this big bay horse, and I must have clocked him every day for about 2 months before he finally got where he could hold him. But he would go out there in 2 minute licking that.
Yeah, I tell you what though, we got on some tough horses. There were some tough ones at the school.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Did you remember your first ride in the race?
Yeah, it was at Churchill Downs. I can't remember the horse's name, but it was the last race of the day, and I think
who'd you ride for? Who put you up?
A guy named Bernard Girdley.
Okay.
I can't remember the horse's name, but we were 20-1 morning line, and everyone from back home was so excited. We opened up 2-1 favorite.
Oh, you can.
they slowly
you
drifted
booked
up.
It. Yeah.
They slowly drifted up after that, and we couldn't repay anyone, but it was fun.
Where'd you finish?
I finished, I think, mid pack.
Did you?
I think it's like 6th or 7th.
Yeah.
But man, I was tired. I say my knees were knocking after that.
What were your emotions doing all this? Were you scared or just did you get a big kick out of it or what?
Yeah, I mean, I got a kick out of it. It's like I said, it was always my dream to be a jockey. So to fulfill your dreams, it's like it's a total different circumstance. There was a lot of tension, a lot of tense moments, and but going to the school and going through the process, to get to the end of it and finally ride that first race.
Did Chris go up with you?
Yeah, he actually ponied me to the gate. Yeah, my first ride. So, it was an experience, I'll tell you.
I bet it was. Let me take a little break here, and I'll get right back with you. Well, Unbridled Song is our 13 Grade 1 stakes winners and arguably the fastest First Defense. First Defense sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20 in 4 at Belmont and won 21 and 2 at Saratoga and in 122 and 1 at Churchill. He also broke his maiden by 8 1/4 lengths as a 2-year-old at Belmont Park, sprinted 6 furlongs in 109 and 2 to win the Grade 3 Jiper Stakes at Belmont, carried a speed around 2 turns to win the Long Branch Breeders' Cup at Monmouth. That was in his first stakes start. He also won the Grade 1 4-go handicap at Saratoga and ran a game second to Hardspun in the Grade 1 King's Bishop. First Defense is by a top sire out of a Grade 1 stakes winner, and that's Honest Lady by Seattle Sleuth. And she's out of the great producer Troussard, dam of 4 Grade 1 stakes winners and 2 successful sires. Stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of Grade 1 stakes winner Mizzen Mass. Mizzen Mass ended 2011 by siring a Grade 1 stakes winner, began 2012 by siring another graded stakes winner, and it stands for 12,500 live foal. Inquiries to go to Roker and Fry and see the website at judmontfarm.com. Well, congratulations to Adina Springs, a valued client at McCauley Brothers for garnering their 8th Eclipse Award as the leading breeder of the year in 2011. The folks at McCauley Brothers take pride in the fact that 5 of the 10 leading breeders of 2011, 6 of the top 10, when you include partnerships, were all McCauley associates. Congratulations also to Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, breeder of My Miss Aurelia, the champion 2-year-old filly of 2011. 2011 was an outstanding year for McCauley Associates. They raised the winners of 110 graded stakes and 24 individual grade one stakes winners. And they're off to a running start in 2012. Just last weekend, the grade two San Fernando Stakes was won by Tapazar, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. The grade three Fort Lauderdale went to Silver Medallion, bred by Burt and C. Jones. And the $100,000 Smarty Jones went to June Bug Red, bred by Gainesway Thoroughbreds. Congratulations to all. In fact, friends of McCauley's have raised winners of graded stakes every weekend of the new year. To add your name to the list of successful associates of McCauley Brothers, just call Darrell Ward or Mike Warren, 873-3333, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Talk about my good friend Jim Fitzgerald down in Knott Griffin Farm. Jim's bred a nice colt running out on his three-year-old now out on the West Coast. At Santa Anita, just won the other day. Of course, Jim owns Knott Griffin and Harper's Island, two nice farms down, one in Bourbon County, one just over the Bourbon County line in Harrison County. And great boarding facilities there. Of course, sales prep, private sales, public sales. It doesn't make any difference. Rehabs, he can just do it all. Got quality farm help. And if you're just getting into the business and you're not doing too well, you need some good sound common sense advice, well, he's somebody you can trust and somebody can just give you that kind of advice. That's Jim Fitzgerald. Let me give you his phone number, 987-8032. He's a neighbor of mine, great neighbor too, and his website is knockgriffinfarm.com. I'll spell Knott Griffin for you, knockgriffin farm.com. Righty. Well, Matt, I'm talking to Matt Strait. You riding some horses. You get on a lot of horses around here in the mornings, and you've been riding, winning some races out here for people out here, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's, a lot of these guys do a real good job out here. And, you know, it's, I live here in Lexington, so it's home, and I'm able to get out here a lot. And, you know, we've been, had a pretty good winter. You know, won some races up there at Turfway. And, hopefully we'll have some continued success this year.
You going to Ellis?
Yeah.
You go to Ellis. You've, of course, you've ridden Keeneland and Churchill.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of tough down at Turfway right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Still, fields are thinning out a little bit. And but, yeah, you know, we got a pretty strong jockey colony up there for, you know, for the wintertime.
Well, I mean, I was talking about the weather.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it's been pretty mild. There's, you know, last week was pretty brutal on us riders and everyone outside, the gate crew and the, you know, the pony.
Yeah.
And the pony people, and it was...
they shorten the post time when it gets down real cold, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, they'll send us out with, you know, 6 minutes of post, just, you know, try to shorten them up as you know, as much as they can.
Jog them over?
Just jog them straight to the gate. And,
get you in and out.
That's it. It was, I think it was last week when we had that real windy weather, it was colder. I think the wind chills up there were like... -5 or
yeah,
you know, something like that.
Did you ride that winner of the day for Elise Reed?
No, well, I rode a winner for her. It was last month.
Okay, I remember you riding one for her.
Yeah,
huh?
It was a maiden special. Maiden special. The horse's name was Mad About Sue.
Yeah. Who have you been riding from out of here now? Riding for?
I ride a lot for Jimmy Corrigan and you know. Tom Bergen, Steve Casey.
Three good trainers there.
Yeah, you know.
They win races, so that's good.
Yeah, no, they've, you know, we've had a lot of success with the, you know, those guys. And, you know, they've given me an opportunity, so.
Yeah. Well, how's your brother Mike doing?
He's doing great. He's doing real good.
That's good. Cause Mike got hurt up at Arlington Park. How long ago has that been?
About 2.5 years now.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, 2.5 years. It was 2 years, August 26th. So.
Yeah. Boy, I remember that the horse that he went down with up there, you rode him in his next start. That
Not the exact horse, but I think he was scheduled to ride the horse in the next few days. It was, I think it was like 3 or 4 days after that. And it was a horse that he had been riding all summer. The horse's name was More Than Able. And, yeah, I rode the... They had like a Michael Straight Day across America
mm-hmm.
where all the jockeys donated one losing mount to the Don Macbeth Fund in care of his name. And
yeah.
I rode that race, and I run third. I wish I could have won. Yeah, it's one race. I wish I could have got there, but we gave it a shot. We came rolling on the outside. Just couldn't get up there in time.
Yeah. Now he started riding down to Florida, didn't he?
He started at Tampa.
And you stayed here. Is that right?
Yeah, I started here. I rode. Let's see. I started in the right at the end of Churchill. I think it was the last week, and then I rode Ellis Park that summer. Then we came back to Turfway and Keeneland, and then I went to Maryland after that. And mm-hmm.
Did you?
I spent about 7 or 8 months in Maryland
mm-hmm.
When I had the bug, and traveled up and down the East Coast, riding everywhere I could.
Any particular track you like best?
Well, I liked Pimlico.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a short meet, but I liked it. I liked the track.
Liked the track?
Yeah, I did well over there. I seemed to... ride the track pretty well, and I like Delaware Park. I like Delaware. It was a beautiful place.
Yeah,
the paddock's gorgeous there.
Yeah. Now Mike went straight to Arlington from Tampa, didn't he?
Right. Yeah. He rode Tampa. I think the last maybe month, 6 weeks, and then he went up to Chicago after that.
You stayed here, and he went to Florida. He got the best of that.
Yeah. I was in Florida the year before. I worked for Todd Fletcher. For 6 months, so.
Oh, did you? That's where you interned.
Yeah, that's where I interned with Todd down in.
Did you get on any of his big horses?
There were some nice. I mean, all the horses that he's got are pretty nice. You know,
yeah.
Not in particular. You know, a couple of them like allowance horses and stuff. Nothing, no Derby horses or anything like that. But it was an experience, though. You know, I got to work a lot of horses with Johnny Velasquez and Angel Cordero, so
in pretty good company there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm in the gate in the morning, I look over, Johnny V's on my left and Cordero's on my right.
Of course Cordero's getting a little long in the tooth now.
Yeah. Right. I'll tell you what, he's still competitive though.
Oh, I bet he is. He used to hang a few people on the rail every now and then, you know. I mean, he wasn't the gentlest of persons, you know, when he was riding the races. Yeah, did you get to gallop any with Chris out here?
Yeah, oh yeah, we galloped a lot, and he got on a bunch of our horses when they got a little tough, or you know, just kind of. And he breathes a lot. He breathes a lot with us too. So it was, you know, that was also.
Yeah. So your family settled down here now?
Yeah, everyone's here in Lexington. Everyone's here. My parents live a couple miles down the road from me, and Mike's a couple miles down the road from me. So, yeah, everyone's close together, and
that's good.
Couldn't ask for anything more.
Yeah, that's very good. The horse that you got on today belonged to your family, isn't it? And that horse came up from the fairgrounds, wasn't it?
He was originally in Florida. We claimed him here last year.
Claimed him up here?
Yeah, at Turfway, and he's done well for us. He's.
Did you win any on him?
No, seconds and thirds. He won down in Florida once last year. I wasn't able to go ride him because I was riding here, but we shipped him up in March, and I think we run him 10 times, and he's hit the board 9 of those 10 starts. So.
Paying the bills.
Yeah.
Right.
It seems like every time we run him, we hook a monster.
Is it tough riding for your dad?
Yeah. I just hope I never get fired.
You know you're in trouble if you get fired there. Right?
Exactly.
Right. Well, he's a good-looking horse.
Yeah, he's
very good. How old is he now?
He's six.
Six?
Yeah, but he's very consistent, very honest, nice horse to be around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good starter horse for everyone.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, I'll let you go. I appreciate you stopping by.
No problem, Ursula, anytime.
And good luck to you, my friend. And, of course, I get to see you out here about every morning.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't miss too many days out here.
No, you don't, though. You like his track here?
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's actually stayed in pretty good shape this winter. I haven't missed too many training days.
Haven't missed any.
Yeah,
So. Just missed one last year, and that was a faux pas. It was supposed to snow, and they closed it down, and in fact, they didn't open it. And then it didn't snow. Everybody was complaining about here, you know, but it's a good track. It's a pretty safe track.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. Well, Mike, excuse me, Matt, you know, you look alike, damn it. I mean, anyway, I appreciate you stopping by, my friend.
All right, Ursa.
We'll see you out here probably Tuesday.
All right, I'll be here.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good one. Good luck.
You too.
All right, well, January 14th at Oaklawn, Najar, a three-year-old colt from the first crop by Jazzo, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, won a $40,000 maiden special with a running style reminiscent of his sire. Five lengths back at the eighth pole in the mile and a 16th event, Najar closed with a rush to win going away. Najar just missed in a maiden special to Keenan, closing fastest of all to drop a nose decision, going a mile and a 16th, and he displayed a similar style to place in maiden specials at Churchill and Arlington. He's one of seven winners from the first crop by classic winner Jazzle, winner of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, half-brother to yet another winner of the Belmont Stakes, champion filly Rags to Riches. Family loaded with classic performers. Rags to Riches also won the Kentucky Oaks. Half-brother Man of Iron, a champion in Ireland, won the Breeders' Cup Marathon. Second Dam Blush with Pride won the Kentucky Oaks and is also the Grand Dam of an Irish Oaks winner. And the list just keeps on going. It's a fantastic pedigree. Jazzle stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, Candy Ride was the sire of 16 stakes winners and earned of over $5,351,000 last year. He has in his first four crops sired 26 stakes winners, including six Grade 1 stakes winners, and that's why his stud fee has climbed to $50,000. One of Candy Ride's Grade 1 stakes winners, Sydney's Candy. Sydney Candy set a new track record in his maiden win as a two-year-old, going 5.5 furlongs in 102 and 3. He went on to win 6 graded stakes at 3 and 4 for earnings of over $1,104,000. He won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, beating a crack field, which included Looking at Lucky, set a new course record in the Grade 2 La Jolla Handicap, a mile and a 16th and 139 and 2, sprinted 7 furlongs and 120 and 4 to take the Grade 2 San Vicente, a mile and 133 and 3 to win the Grade 3 Sir Beaufort Stakes, and he also won the Grade 2 San Felipe, and then came east to win Saratoga's Grade 2 four-star Dave. The Dam of Sydney's Candy is a Grade 1 producer by Stormcat out of the Triple Grade 1 Stakes Winner Exchange, winner of over $1,287,000. It's a running family. The first foals for Sydney's Candy are due this year. It stands for $15,000, payable when the foal stands in nurses, with a 5% discount if paid by November 1. In recent stakes, the Passiana Handicap at Santa Anita was won by Ella Fitz, a daughter of Tiz Now, bred by Mineola Farm, David Houchin, and James Hirschman. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Jackie's back from the Gee-Dunk.
Yep.
What are you drinking?
Some kind of fancy coffee.
Okay.
It's not, I don't know if it's real coffee.
She drinks all this foo-foo coffee.
I get a small one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't like taste coffee. It just is a nice transportation to put that other stuff in.
So. Okay.
I'm sorry. Bain Welker Sr. died, yesterday? Anyway, they had Locust Ridge Farm in Paris, raised and sold Will's Way. Of course, he won the Trevors and wound up at...
Old Friends.
That's right. Anyway, Bain Jr., of course, works for Fasig Tipton. He's vice president out there. And Bert,
Got his own place. What's his name?
Silverton Farm. And Allied Bloodstock. So anyway, friends and family, 5 to 7 this evening at Clark Funeral Home in Versailles. And no flowers, please. Donations, Hospice of the Bluegrass and the Hope Clinic. So that's a nice thing to do in memory of Vane Walker Sr. Okay, this is an interesting one. Some Namai Singh Raj Bhavan Imphal Manipur, India. Now, that's part of it's the guy's name and part of it's where he's from. But
you could fool me either way.
They gave a bunch of polo, early polo gear from India, traditional Manipuri polo gear. So that'll be out at the horse park. It's pretty neat. That was a nice thing to do, and that'll be interesting to look at the horse park. So it's funny, I didn't know where the name ended and the location began. It is at the horse park. Of course, the horse exhibit's going on. Today is Kentucky Hunter Jumper Associate Judges Clinic and Mounted Games. Next week, it will be the Professional Stock Rodeo Series. That's next Friday and Saturday. Polo Tuesdays and Thursdays, pretty much how it goes until it warms up. Race for Education is accepting applications for 2012-2013. Go to race for education/scholarships. Actually, it's raceforeducation.org. They're out on Versailles Road, just inside of town side of Cardinal Hill. I drive past there a lot. They've got all kind of scholarships. You need to get on that. It's for backstretch people. And I think you mentioned this, Dr. Hansen, who is who named the horse after himself, gave $12,000 to New Vocations. Bless his heart. That's a nice thing to do. Let's see what else we got. The Horse Farm Basketball Tournament has a new home. If you're interested, you need to get on this to volunteer or make a contribution. They're having a church, which cracks me up, instead of your bar or pub. 252-8648. And they're having free gelding surgery, for horses, at the horse park. I think it's like 10 or 20 bucks. This will be Saturday, March
the
10th.
Free.
No, I don't know what that's for. Maybe for the surgical gloves. I don't know. Anyway, get a hold of Sheila at 233-4305 or just call the horse park. That'll work. NTRA is having this Thoroughbred Horse Show Association business April 14th and 15th. This is for retired racehorses. Only Thoroughbreds can get in this thing. NTRA is behind this. If you're interested or want to know more about it, go to, I'll tell you what, Google Thoroughbred Horse Association, Lexington, Kentucky. That'll find it for you, and you won't have to remember anything too serious. Horse Park is only open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, they're dark until March, and it's cheaper to get in, too. It's $10. Now, Masterson Indoor is open Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays up through the winter. Call Georgia at 253-0328.
Well, Lionel David is a grade one stakes winner by Lionheart. The sire of 27 two-year-old winners in 2011, ranking second only to Scat Daddy in that category. Three of the 27 won stakes. He ranked eighth on the juvenile sire list, and he sired the winner of the Jimmy Wingfield Stakes run just last Monday at Aqueduct. That's two stakes winners this year already for Lionheart. Now, Lionheart is a grade one stakes winner of more than $1,390,000 by Taylor the Cat, who ranked eighth on the 2011 general sire list. And both Lionheart and Taylor the Cat have sired winners of Breeders' Cup races. And this is the famed Stormcat sire line. Line of David led all the way to win the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, defeating a crack field, which included three Grade 1 stakes winners. He won at the direct expense of Super Saver, winner in his next start of the Kentucky Derby. Line of David went into the Arkansas Derby off two consecutive one-mile scores, the second in 139-2. Line of David's Dam is a grade one producer from the family, which has already given us the great Mr. Prospector, dozens more. He's to stand the 2012 season for $7,500, due when the foal stands and nurses a spendthrift farm. Be sure to inquire about breeding incentives. Just ask Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Fell or Ned Toffee. See the website, spendthriftfarm.com.
Sally Van Surf, the person behind the wheel, is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All right. Well, I think I've got Steve Moody with me. Steve, the course is with BRIS, B-R-I, Bloodstock Research Information Services, and he's going to give us a winner down at the fairgrounds today. What's the Panzerettos, the stakes down there today, isn't it, Tom? Steve, I want to call you Tom for some reason.
Steve, how you doing there, Bob?
All right. I'm thinking about that basketball game today.
Yeah, I know. It's, I'm a little concerned about that game today, but on to other matters. Now they got this is the, one of their big days, Ursula. They've got six stakes down there today. They got the LeCompte as the is the main feature, of course, for the three-year-olds, sort of starting their, you know, on the Derby trail, and that's the main race. They got the Colonel Bradley and the Panzeretta and Louisiana Handicap, and there's another one. The F.W. Gauldin Memorial and the Silver Bullet Day for the three-year-old filly. So. Yeah. They got a big day today. 13 races.
13 races. Well, give me a winner in one of them.
All right. Well, we'll go with the LeCompte. That's a Grade Three.
Okay.
175,000 for the 3-year-olds, and of course this is the next step will be the Louisiana Derby for these the ones that come out of this race a bit head on, and big field here. Field 13 has been drawn, and. Pretty well matched group, pretty lightly raced, what you would think of for 3-year-olds this time of the year. I sort of came down to the 5-horse, a horse named X Factor, who won the Sugar Bowl Stakes down there around Christmas, and is coming. This Bernie Flint trains him. Sean Bridgemahan has got to ride. He's won 3 in a row for Bernie Flint. His last 2 times he's won, against Stakes Company. And, he stretches out to, 2 turns for the first time today, but, pedigree wise, I don't think he'll have any problem, going the added ground. And, he's got tactical speed. He doesn't have to be on the lead. He can lay close. And I think he'll be in a pretty good spot when they turn for home. Another horse to look at is the 8-horse, Hammer's Terror. Michael Stidham is a trainer for him. James Graham has the mount. Hammer's Terror, first time he went long, he won. He's coming back here and then stepping up in class today. And I think has a big chance here. The 10-horse Cape Town Devil, gelding David Carroll has him. Corey Lannery has the ride. He's unbeaten and going real well now. And another one that I think will like the mile 70-yard distance. The only sort of negative for him is that he's kind of stuck with an outside post. He's got, either the 10 or the 11. I'm not sure where a couple of the horses on the entry. There's 2 entries in the race, but he's on the far outside, let's put it that way, in this race. So that could hurt him a little bit, but I think he'll be running at the end. But we're going to give a slight edge in the X Factor. 1-3 in a row, and going to try 2 turns today. If he if he gets the job done, and I think he'll be one of the favorites, probably heading into the Louisiana Derby. So we'll go 5-8-10 in the LeCompte Stakes.
All right, Steve. You say you're worried about that game today?
Yeah, that line's a little concerning to me when I saw it last night. You know, Alabama's coming off a bad loss at home. They played terrible. They lost by 10. It wasn't that close. And we were coming off one of the better games we played in a long time. And we're playing at home. And I think the line, last time I looked, it was down into single digits.
Huh?
9.5. There's only been one game this season where an opponent's been single digits for a game in Rupp. That was Carolina. So, kind of surprising.
Well, you got me worried now. You had to do it to me, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been Steve Moody with Bloodstock Research Information Services, and he's doing the fairgrounds sheet now. You can get that off the website. That's brisnet.com, isn't it, right, Tom? Steve?
There got it, Urkel.
Huh?
You got it.
Yo, brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. You can pick up it. And it's been Steve Moody. And, Steve, I'm mixing you up with the guy that calls I got my name on that, my mind on that basketball game today.
Well, he's... He'll have a better seat than you or I will, but
I don't know. I can sit there and drink a beer and watch it, and he can't.
That part's true.
All right. Okay, Steve. Thank you.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
See ya.
All right. Bye bye. Jackie, you got anything else you want to do before we hang it up, or I can?
Let me see.
I don't know. I can talk a little more about the...
No, that's okay if you do.
Racetrack adoptions. It's just so wonderful.
Well, let me reiterate this, that five Eclipse Award winners, including the Horse of the Year, were foaled in the state of Kentucky. My Miss Aurelia, of course, was the made by Stone Street Thoroughbred Farm. She's a champion two-year-old filly. The two-year-old colt was Hanson, bred by Dr. Kenneth Hanson. Of course, the Horse of the Year, an older female, so that she got two Eclipse Awards. Harbor de Gras, and I'm not trying to pull a Frenchie on everybody, but when I grew up, the track located in Maryland was, and the city's still there, was everybody called it Harbor de Gras. As a matter of fact, they pronounced it G-R-A-W, Harbor de Gras. And it was the only race that Citation lost in his three-year-old season was at Harbor de Gras when Saggy beat him. And, of course, Citation went on to win the Triple Crown that year. And a few years later, Saggy sired the winner of the Kentucky Derby and Kerry back. So Derby connection right there. Let's see who else. The three-year-old Animal Kingdom was bred by Team Valor. That's my friend Barry Irwin over here in Versailles. I won't say Versailles like I would. And a three-year-old female was, of course, that nice Empire Maker filly that was bred by Palladies Investments and was raised and sold in that sale, the Kenan sale, by my good friend Ron Wallace over was managing Chantal Clare Farm at that time. So there were five Kentucky-bred Eclipse Award winners, actually six Eclipse Awards if you talk about the champion handicap mare also. But anyway, five Eclipse Award winners were foaled in Kentucky, two in California, two in Ireland, one in Florida, and one in France. That's they're playing getaway music here, Jackie.
Getaway.
Getaway, getaway. So we'll be on next week at the regular time from 10 until 12. And you can go to our website and pick these things up now. I think we're solving our website problem.
Yes, we have. I went out to, where's Myers? Out of Hamburg? Right. Okay. It's in the Myers building. This guy's got a place that fixes computers, does a great job. More on him later, but it's a good place to go.
Okay. Took care of our problem. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.